Crate, thanks to your friendly neighbourhood record store, Southbound Records.
Morning, Troy. How are you going?
I'm good. I'd just like to point out I had nothing to do with that argument we were just having.
It was just me and Sarah just...
No, just casually sledging us while we talked about our family's idea of fun. We both involved dictionaries. What?
Oh, dear. Hey, you've brought us some mean-looking tunes this morning, Troy. What
we
have
did.
We got?
All right, let's... Shall we start at the top? Let's start with... We'll go back 25 years, shall we? 26 years now. And it's the second album by Julie Cruise.
Awesome.
You know who Julie Cruise is.
I do know
you?
Who Julie Cruise is, yeah.
So this was her second album with David Lynch writing the words and Angelo Badalamenti writing the music. And it actually came after Twin Peaks Fire Walk With Me. I was going to say that came in between the series, but no.
It came after.
Yeah. But this record here, it's released, this is only the second time it's come on vinyl. The first time there was a pressing of it last year by Sacred Bones.
Okay. They do good stuff. I like Sacred
Bones.
Okay,
yeah. This pressing is very nice, though.
What's this?
This is out of Europe. This is a Music on Vinyl pressing. Let's try this tune here. See if you recognise this. This one here, She Would Die For Love.
Just even the minor synth chords, eh? You're like,
David Lynch.
Back in the lodge.
See, yeah. See, what I really like about the music that Julie Cruise does is that it seems that it's like an alternative interpretation of forms of genre, I suppose. Like this, of course, if you read a description of jazz on a piece of paper and then you'd never heard it, you thought, okay, tell me what this is.
Right.
And it comes like this. This here was also the main theme to Fire Walk With Me,
okay,
without the vocal. Drums on this, Grady Tate. And the bass player on this was Buster Williams. So
wow.
You get two real jazz guys.
What a roll call.
Playing weird.
It's like a hard-boiled novel's idea of jazz.
I'm just thinking like we should have the blinds, you know, slanted and there should be like black and white sort of chiaroscuro light coming through here. And
from the flashing neon for the shop downstairs.
Yep. We all need to be wearing trench coats. Trench coats.
Yeah, your voice went skeezy at just the right point.
It's also got a suitably freaky looking album cover.
Obviously,
kind of like
David Lynch has made that sculpture.
It looks like a shrunken head, to be honest. It's
like a cross between a tulip and a baby's head on a stick.
Or I thought
that's
it was
exactly
like
what it looks like.
I thought it was like a mushroom growing, but the mushroom was like a head. Tell you what it looks like is, you know, the evolution of the arm in the second, in the final season of Twin Peaks.
No? You just meant in general, just the evolution of the arm.
Vitruvian man on us.
Okay, you know that little man from another place in Twin Peaks, the one who speaks backwards. He was Mike's arm.
Yeah.
Mike lost his arm, and that's okay. And then by the final season, the arm had developed into a thing which looked like a leafless tree with a thing. No?
No, it's just I'm getting strangely anxious reliving the plot of Twin Peaks episodes.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Yeah, this is a very good way to sort of spooky up your morning, I reckon.
It's
a definite vibe.
Okay, wait for what's coming up. This is really good. Now, probably in your Scrabble dictionary, you would look up the word noir and you would hear what's coming just now.
Use it, trumpet.
Yes.
This is the cigarette smoke, you know, curling out of the end of your cigarette holder in your evening gown.
There is a Muppet parody of noir.
Of course there is.
Which stars Liza Minnelli and Kermit as the detective.
Right.
And he talks about how wherever he goes, there's a muted trumpet playing and he has no idea why. I'm like, yes, Kermit.
Do you know why Julie Cruise started contributing to Lynch films.
No.
Because she was a singer before, but she wasn't this kind of singer.
Yeah,
she wasn't
at all.
She was like a Broadway singer. And
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And Angelo Badalamenti, when he first was hired to work for David Lynch, was during Blue Velvet, and he was hired as Isabella Rossellini's voice coach so she could sing Blue Velvet. And David Lynch desperately wanted this Mortal Coil's version of Song to the Siren.
Right.
Tim Buckley's Song to the Siren.
Yeah.
But either Ivo at 4AD or the publishers, they wanted way too much money, so...
It's the second time Ivo's been mentioned today. Sorry, continue, yeah.
So Lynch said to Badalamenti, write a song like this and find someone to sing it.
And
Angelo
I like that.
Said... I know exactly who to sing it, the complete opposite of the kind of singer.
That's very cool.
That's when she started to do this kind of thing.
I had no idea she was a Broadway person.
Yeah.
That's not where I'd known her from. Crazy.
Well, I don't know if anyone did.
Well, no.
You know, it might have been one of them off-Broadway type Broadways. I don't know. I didn't want to say musical theatre because then Sarah would go, when I was in musical theatre.
Not true.
So, The Voice of Love, this is the second album from... Julie Cruz.
Amelia's just giving us her two cents from the doorway there as well.
We've just got a classic Amelia. Ha!
The track list on the back of this.
Yep.
This Is Our Night.
Mm-hmm.
The Space for Love. Moving In on You. Spooky. Friends for Life. Also spooky. in the context of this. Up in Flames.
That's an amazing one. That was from the Industrial Symphony number 1.
Oh, cool.
That Lynch did, yeah.
Cool Cat Walk with 2 Ks.
That was in Wild Art, wasn't it, originally?
I think so.
Yeah.
Until the End of the World.
Yep.
She Would Die for Love, which is what we're listening to right now. In My Other World. Questions in a World of Blue. And The Voice of Love.
So those last two were in Fire Walk with Me, weren't they? Questions in a World of Blue is in the... scene where Laura Palmer is close-ups of her crying and screaming.
Oh man.
Oh, classic. Yeah. This is very cool. Julie Cruz, The Voice of Love.
Yep, 2LP set out now.
Woohoo, go grab that one. I reckon that one will fly off quite quickly. There's a lot of Lynch fans out there. What's the next thing you've brought us?
Right. The next thing is a Japanese, part of the Japan archival series on Light in the Attic. You remember there was a compilation, was it last year or 2 years ago? Even a Tree, you know this one?
Even a Tree Can Cry Tears?
Shed Tears.
Shed Tears,
yes.
That's the one.
Now that was like of sort of folk rock type stuff out of Japan. Now,
right.
One of the people on that was Sashiko Kanenobu. Hit it. 1972. Sashiko made this record, Mizora, on the Underground Records Group, first ever independent label in Japan.
That's cool.
But before it came out, she'd left. She'd gone to America, never came back.
This is really nice.
Really like this album.
You do like this one?
Yeah.
The drum in this is really, really lovely. I mean, there's a lot of lovely things in this.
Now, folk rock's not the... I'm nowhere near an expert in such things, but... the arrangement's here by Hasono, who was at the time in Happy End, went on to do stuff with YMO, etc. There was also a big reissue campaign for Haruma Hasono last year. But Sashiko, check out her voice.
It's very Joni Mitchell, actually.
Surprisingly enough, yeah. Okay.
But cleaner than Joni.
Did you say better?
Cleaner, like, you know.
Better,
yeah,
right.
I think...
You feel like Joni Mitchell would snub you at a party, but Sashiko might not.
No, she'd give you a hug, I reckon.
Yeah.
And a high five. Joni would just like pull her hat down over her eyes or something.
Yes. Sashiko is still alive now.
Awesome.
And still playing in the United States. But she was, I think, I could be wrong, but I think she was the first ever singer-songwriter released in Japan.
Cool.
What?
Yeah.
Sarah's going, I'm not sure I believe that.
First ever female singer-songwriter, that's what I meant to say. Yeah, first one. Also, I'm not sure there was many sort of American-style folk records released before this one.
No.
Over there.
And this was a this big collector's item for a while. I think it's been reissued maybe twice?
Yeah, I think so. This one, of course, Light in the Attic have pressed it at RTI, so impeccable sounding.
They take good care of their folky stuff.
Mm. It does say on here, often regarded as Japan's first female singer-songwriter.
Regarded, yeah, but I think actually historically in release terms as well.
All right. This is a nice album cover as well. I'm presuming that's her.
Yes, it is.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think Misora refers to a beautiful day or beautiful sky. And the whole album is, again, different vibe to Julie Cruz, but you can just kind of sit in it like a lovely bath.
It's good for it. Good for fixing your problems, I feel, this album. Just like a bath.
She had like a lot of these kind of things, weird stuff happened after this. Yeah. And one of the weird things is that she got encouraged to start playing again by the science fiction author Philip K. Dick.
Oh, my goodness, I love it.
That is weird, but in an amazing kind of way.
Who died before he did what he said he was going to do, which was produce an album by him.
Oh, my goodness.
So wow, that would have been kind of incredible, though. What a woman. She's very cool.
Sashiko Kananobu Misora is the name of this. And she was from Osaka, but she's lived in Williams, California, for the last nearly 50 years, I think.
Fantastic.
It's a cool one, right?
That's a really cool one. I really like that.
Okay, hit this.
Is that a horse?
No. Percussion.
That sounds like a horse. Don't tell me that's not meant to sound like a horse.
I don't think it is.
This album is great.
Isn't it, Jess?
Yes. This sounds like... This is cool.
Right, from Casablanca, Morocco, 1972. This is a Here For Two unreleased record.
Oh, nice.
That's Razat Adahabia and Farah Diala, which is the name of this group. 14-piece group.
Cool. So the track we're listening to is Al Hadawi? Al Hadawi? Is that how you say that?
Al Hadawi?
Al Hadawi?
Yep.
There we go.
I'm not sure if it's Moroccan Arabic or Berber Arabic, but could be. It could be one of those. Anyway, this record here, as you can hear, it's kind of one of those oddities of the 20th century where there was a modern and older culture colliding and something completely different to both of them coming out of. So what you have is there was a North African tradition of music. I can't remember what it was called.
It's not Tuareg, is it?
No, it's Nawa, I think. Tuareg are the nomadic people.
Got me thinking that because there is percussion in Tuareg, which is meant to sound like horses.
I'm just saying, it sounds like horses. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I think it's very cool.
It's a different part of North Africa, right? And if it was Tuareg, they'd be singing in Tamashek rather than in Arabic.
All right.
Anyway, this one here is the 11th release from Habibi Funk, the German label who's put out consistently high quality
awesome
and amazing
stuff. Yeah. So this was recorded in 1973.
Recorded in 72, 73?
It says 73 on the front here.
Oh, well, that would be right. It was recorded 73 and then just not released ever. It was discovered in radio archives by a Belgian company who went, this is great, we can't do it, and they called up the guy at Habibi Funk.
Very cool.
Now, the guy, the main guy, Farah Diala, was his main job was painting cinema posters.
Oh, that's a cool sign writing. That's a very cool job.
That was his job, but... reading about him, and I think in the liner notes there, it says that from the 50s he had been hired to sing at people's weddings and stuff.
Cool.
So he liked singing, he was kind of a singer, and when he got his entire family together to form this band that
So
he
they're
fronted,
all related, or they're all a family,
yes,
is that right?
Yes, one family.
That's so cool. They've also got great hats, I just want to point out. Fantastic, massive hats going on.
Isn't that weird? Like, look at the from left to right on the cover and you'll see it looks like 20th century and then early 20th century or older.
Kind of looks like Aldous Harding in Friends.
Yes, it does. Maybe. A bit. If you can imagine that hat that Aldous Harding wears in the barrel, that is slightly what these hats look like.
I don't know what you're talking about, but I'll say
I'm
yes.
going to show you Troy and you'll be like, that is what these hats look like.
What do you think of the backing vocal?
Like, I think they're great.
Are they very...
I don't know if it's exactly call and response because they're repeating what he says usually.
That's cool. That's really, really cool. Remind us of the name of that one again, Troy.
You were going to read it out for me.
Oh.
No, that's mean. I'm not going to do that because I don't want to butcher it because you can say it much better than I can.
This is a new album, well, long delayed album by Atarazat Adahabia and Farah Diala, and I'm sure I got the complete wrong. Al Hadwai is the name of the record, and boy, it is a really good one.
Yeah, that's awesome. I really like that. I always like everything you bring up today, but these are three that are tempting me, Troy.
You liked all of these?
Yeah, I did. I like these a lot.
Marvellous. So, Sashiko Kanenobu Mizuro was before that, and we started with the double LP re-release of The Voice of Love, which is that what your life sounds like to you usually, Sarah?
My life?
Yeah.
Where's your muted trumpet at?
I don't spend as much time on my eyeliner for a woman in those kind of narratives.
You don't?
No.
Okay. I do.
Well, there you go. Yeah. You've got in the right album then.
Fantastic.
So those are those three. We've got them all up the road at Southbound Records, which is on Simon Street.
And are they all on the shelf at the moment?
Yes, they are.
Fantastic.
All ready to go.
You better run then, guys. Thank you very much, Troy.
All right.
From the crate, thanks to Southbound Records, 132 Simon Street.